Shrink Wrap Radio. All the psychology you need to know, and just enough to make you dangerous.
Shrink Wrap Radio number 73. Further Reflections on My Tarot Reading, January 28th, 2007. Welcome to Shrink Wrap Radio, the planet's premier psychology podcast. This is your host, Dr. Dave, coming to you from the San Francisco Bay Area. Shrink Wrap Radio is the show that speaks from the psychologist in me to the psychologist in you, whether you be amateur, student, or professional. Hello, everybody. Surprise, I'm back. I had said I was only going to be doing 4 shows per month now because I've got another podcast project that I'm taking up. But here I am doing number 5. And why am I here doing number 5 now? Well, I miss it. I miss you guys. I get such wonderful emails and such a sense of love and support that I can't quite keep away. And I've got some other things that I wanted to share with you. And so I thought, well, why don't I just go ahead and do a podcast anyway? And today's podcast will be different in a couple of respects. One is I don't have a guest. I'm just going to talk to you. The other difference is I'm going to speak extemporaneously. Normally, I write things out ahead of time. You could probably tell. I don't know. I try to make it sound as conversational as I can. But generally, I find that well, first of all, I'm a much better writer than I am a speaker, and so I tend to rely on writing. But then also, writing takes a lot of time, and it's been putting a lot of pressure on my body, quite frankly. I just got off of a huge market research project, which is something that I do on the side, and it involved being at the computer all day, every day. I mean, waking up early in the morning and going to bed late at night and having spent the whole time on the computer. And it really kind of pushed me over the edge in terms of tendonitis and carpal tunnel type symptoms, which I've had in the past. And by backing off the computer somewhat, you know, they went away. So what do I choose as a new avocation, hobby, whatever you want, passion? Podcasting, which has me sitting at the computer more and writing a lot of stuff out. So I'm trying to speak just from very minimal notes, and we'll see how this goes, because I need to find ways to make it so that the podcasting fits into my life so I can keep doing it, keep up this wonderful communication and relationship with you all, but make it possible within the bounds of what my body and my time will permit. And the thing that really prompts me to want to do a podcast right now is I've been thinking about the tarot reading that Art Rosengarten gave me in episode number 70. And if you haven't heard that episode, then this one's not going to make a whole lot of sense to you, probably. So I would suggest that you go back and listen to number 70 if you haven't already. And Art Rosengarten is a psychologist who's written a book on psychology and tarot, and it's a wonderful book. It had a big influence on me. And so as part of that interview, you will recall that I suggested that we try something in the moment and that he give a reading on the question of shrink wrap radio. What's the, you know, what should I be thinking about as I move forward with shrink wrap radio? And we used the Rider-Waite deck, which there are at least 400 different tarot decks out there. The Rider-Waite is probably the most popular one, the most widely used one. And it's the one that I've worked with most, and I have the most the deepest emotional relationship with that particular deck. So as I talk about it, and I'm going to be talking about 3 cards specifically, you can find pictures of these cards in the Rider-Waite version on the internet if you search for them. So if you don't have a deck, and to further enjoy this podcast, I would suggest that you try to locate these photos so that are the pictures on the web, so that you can be really tuning into what I'm reacting to here. Now, when Art did the reading with me, it was what's called a three-card spread, and there are many different spreads that are possible with the tarot. Art's invented some of his own. Other people have invented ones of their own. Probably the most widely used and the best known one is one called the Celtic Cross. But we didn't do that, and I'm not going to go into that right now. And it's actually not a spread that I've worked with much. I've actually worked quite a bit with the spread that Art, I think, invented, and that it's the one that he used with me on the show. And it's one in which three cards are drawn randomly, blindly, and placed on the table. And the three positions are important to keep in mind then when you begin to work with and analyze the cards that have been drawn. So let's keep in mind the three positions, which were how it seems is the first card. You know, how the situation seems, what it looks like, what it seems to be. And then the second card speaks to what's really going on at a deeper level beneath that, what's going on. And then the third card is what needs to happen. Now, the three cards that I drew, the first one for how it seems is a card from what's called the Higher Arcana, and the card is called the Devil card. And it depicts a man-beast. I'm not sure what kind of head it is. Maybe like a goat's head. I would say it's a goat's head with ram's horns, a human torso with arms, and a hand that's held up in a sort of stop position. And then some kind of animal flanks his lower torso. I can't say for sure what kind of an animal it would be. And then we see a male and a female figure beneath him. Oh, by the way, this devil figure, this figure labeled as the devil, also has bat wings. And he also has kind of a star, a pentacle star, over his head. And the number on the card, by the way, is 15. And then we see a male and a female figure who are chained to the pillar upon which this devil figure is perched. And they have chains kind of loosely around their neck, and I want to comment on that aspect more. And also I want to remind you that even though this card is called the devil, that doesn't mean that it's a negative card or that it's an evil card or even that it's about the devil per se. All of the cards in the tarot have the potential to be seen either in a negative or positive light. And we'll explore that some more as we get along further into this. Now, the second card that I pulled was the Eight of Pentacles. And the Eight of Pentacles shows a fellow sitting on a bench, a medieval fellow. This deck, kind of all the figures are clothed in medieval clothing, and it seems to be set in medieval time. And we see this fellow, he's working on some discs, and the Eight of, and the suit, Pentacles, is sometimes called discs. That's another name for it. And it's also sometimes called coins. And he seems to be, he's carving the symbol of the pentacle, which is the five-pointed star. He's got a hammer and chisel, and he's carving a pentacle onto the eighth disc. And we see six discs running up, six discs running up a tree. And one's lying on the ground beside him, and then there's the one that he's working on, in which he's just finishing up etching in the image of the star with his hammer and chisel. And the third card is the one that's in the position of what needs to happen, is also a card from the Higher Arcana. And Higher Arcana cards tend to be associated with higher concerns, spiritual concerns. And it depicts, the card is called the Hermit, and very archetypal looking card with the figure of a robed hermit, bearded fellow with a lantern. Reminds me of, isn't it Diogenes' Search for an Honest Man? So we see this Diogenes looking hermit figure on the top of a snow-capped peak with snow-capped mountains all around, and his left hand grasps a staff, and his right hand is holding a lantern. So those are the cards. Now, my desire to do this podcast was also partially triggered by a letter that I got from listener Stefan, who, if I recall correctly, I think he's in Austria, either Germany or Austria. Pardon me, Stefan, if I get it wrong, but I think that's where. And he wrote me a delightful email, which I've already responded to him by email. So none of what I have to say will probably come as a big surprise to him in terms of reacting to his email, at least. And he wrote, "Hello, Doc. Great show on the Tarot. I'm certainly not an expert on the subject, but I could not hold myself back from dropping a few lines to share some of my own associations. I thought they might be helpful in a similar way as in the process of group projective dream work." So I really like that Stefan picked up on a previous show in which I talked about group projective dream work with Jeremy Taylor, who does that quite a bit, and I do it in my own dream work. And so getting back to Stefan's associations, he says, number one, the devil, he says, "I think it symbolizes the nature of the show's topic, psychology, therapy, and it may suggest a possible focus with regards to the content of your shows. Perhaps people are fascinated or would like to hear more about the shadow, your Jungian approach." You know, that's an interesting suggestion. And even though I read this, your email when you first sent it to me, that point didn't get through. It didn't sink through my consciousness till just now reading it again. So thank you. That's something I need to think about a little bit. So he says, "Perhaps people are fascinated with or would like to hear more about the shadow, your Jungian approach, attachment, provocative issues, unrealized possibilities, recognizing the whole self." Now he goes on to say, "On a personal level for you as a podcaster looking for more success, it may stand for the lust for power. It may warn you of the danger of getting lost in material interests or be seduced by power, important success, or of acting against your own nature, your original motivation or ideals." I need to step in there and issue a little warning, and I sent this warning to this caution to Stefan as well, because if you are using the projective dream process, a projective group process, we say, if this were my dream, or in my dream, this means. So, for example, somebody tells a dream, and right away I've got the idea, oh, this dream, it's all about the anger that they have towards their mother. But if we play according to the rules of the game, and I think it's important to play by those rules, I don't get to say, oh, this dream means you're angry at your mother. Instead, I have to say, you know, in my dream, if this were my dream, it would be about my anger towards my mother. And I would actually get into my own actual anger towards my own actual mother, if I'm really doing this with integrity, because I probably have some anger at my mother. I have anger at my mother, and it's that anger that sensitizes me to being alert to that dimension in the dream, because, you know, any dream could have 1,000 possible interpretations, but somehow I've latched onto that particular one. And the reason I latch onto it, we recognize in depth psychology, is, you know, what you might call countertransference. It's tapping into my own set of issues. So it's important to follow that rule, because it forces me to own my projections on the one hand, and it gives the dreamer the space and the freedom to consider what I'm proposing, but also to reject it. So when Stefan says to me, on a personal level, you as a podcaster looking for more success, it may stand for the lust for power. It may warn you of the danger of getting lost in material interests or seduced by power or acting against your own nature. Well, those are good possibilities, Stefan, particularly based on some other background material that I said on the show and that I think you were drawing upon. But you also need to own those for yourself. And so it would be better to say, and this is not to single out Stefan, but rather I'm trying to educate all of my listeners about working with another person in terms of this depth material. So I would submit that the better way to work with it is to say, if this were my tarot reading, if I had drawn these tarot cards, what they would stand for me, would be my lust for power. In other words, Stefan would have to say that, or whoever is giving me this reading, they'd have to say, for me, it would be about a lust for power. You know, does that fit for you? Then that gives the person who's getting this reading, this quotes advice or whatever, the space to accept it or not accept it. And I have to say that what Stefan talks about there, it rings a little bit of a bell, but I still was left unsatisfied about this card, this one in particular, the Devil card. Even when I was going through it with Art Rosengarten, there was something unsatisfying in what we came up with. It wasn't clicking for me, and it has since clicked. And that's what I wanted to share with you. And we'll get to that in a moment. Getting back to Stefan's email, he says, the Eight of Pentacles, which card is that? And so I've just described it at some length, Stefan, and I would urge you to search for it on the internet. I think you'll find it. I found these cards without any difficulty, so I assume you will. But, you know, to try to give the URLs here on the air, they're too long, and would be time-consuming. Now, the third card is the Hermit, and Stefan had some comments about that. Retreat, reflect, meditate about your real goals, and return to your real nature. What do you really want to achieve with your podcasting? What does success, prestige, recognition, etc. really mean to you? If our work gets stale and boring, we should take a step back and rethink things. And I think that's right on, Stefan. That certainly fits for me. And I'll reflect on that some. I think I did reflect on that in my original reaction when I was in dialogue with Art Rosengarten. But also the challenge to you, Stefan, is you have to own that, and you have to ask yourself, what do you really want to achieve? Maybe not with podcasting, but what is it you really want to achieve? And what does success, prestige, recognition, etc. really mean to you? And if your work gets stale and boring, should you take a step back and rethink things? So, you know, in true psychologist fashion, I'm turning this back on you, right? One of the reasons why I have written things out in advance before is I notice that I'll have long pauses, and I get embarrassed by those long pauses. But one of the things that I need to be able to do is to make the process of podcasting less time-consuming for me, but still hopefully as meaningful to you all. And so doing less editing and being able to speak more in this way, if I can move towards that, that will help me to do that. So I had a real, you know, this the devil card in that position of how it seems was something that was kind of nagging away at my consciousness, my unconsciousness after that interview, and even after getting this email from Stefan. And I just kind of kept, kind of held it in my awareness and kind of kept working it. And as things have unfolded, I think I have a deeper understanding. There's a deeper way in which this card speaks to me now and in which it feels like the perfect card. And in part, it has to do with this second podcast that I've taken on. In the last podcast, I announced that I'm going to be doing two podcasts a month for a site called mentalhelp.net. And maybe you'll hear more about that as we go along, or you might even choose to listen to some of those interviews. I haven't done the first one yet. But I signed a contract. I have a contractual arrangement with mentalhelp.net. And I also have a contractual agreement with Podshow. So I look at these two figures on the devil card who are chained to this beast, chained to the man, so to speak. And it's easy for me, in a way, to see these two different podcast, quote, obligations that I've taken on in that particular role. And what's very fascinating about the card and about the situation is that the male and female figures who for me would represent these two podcast obligations that I've taken on, and actually also there could be a third one, which would be my market research work. And there are a lot of other directions I could take this, by the way. And that's the thing about the tarot and about symbols in general, is that they're so rich, they're so evocative, that they lead one to explore various paths in one's own life. So, you know, I could look at this in terms of some personal relationship issues, for example. But right now, what's salient for me, what's most salient, is what I'm talking about in terms of these two podcasts. And what's interesting about this card is that these two figures who appear to be bound by chains to the beast, the chains, as I observed earlier, are very loosely draped around their necks. They could easily lift these chains over their heads and be free. So the thing that I need to remind myself of is to stay with my passion and to remember that it's my passion that's driving me to do this and not contractual or commercial reasons. I didn't get into podcasting. I didn't start Shrink Wrap Radio with any idea of making money. That wasn't my motivation. As I discovered, however, that there were expenses involved, and that those expenses could grow as my audience grew, and as I also discovered that other podcasters were looking at it as a way to perhaps quit their jobs and have a new livelihood, I began to keep an eye out to that as a possibility. And so that's why I ended up signing up with Podshow, because there was a chance to make A, to not have to pay for the hosting of the show, and B, to make a small amount of money. It's not a living, but it's been enough to defray the costs of my equipment, for example. So that's good. But it's a delicate balance. I've had this experience before. For example, years ago, I taught yoga. After being a yoga aficionado and doing yoga myself, and then I started teaching it. And I've done that with a lot of avocations and hobbies and things that they start off as a hobby, and then I switch into teaching mode, and it becomes a source of income. And the danger there is that you can take something that was a hobby that started out just as something that nurtures you, And if you're not careful, it can become a burdensome obligation. It can become your work. So I guess this is all about that fine line between work and play. And the most wonderful thing is if your work can be your play. You know, if the work that you do, if you love it so much that the work-play distinction goes away. But on the other hand, there's the danger that your play, that you can also fall into the trap. I have fallen into the trap sometimes in the past of my play turning into work and beginning to have that sort of burdensome, obligatory quality. So to me, this card, which is in the position of how does it seem, what does it look like, might be going on. Well, it might look like to the external observer, and at times it could even look to me like this is an obligation that I'm bound to. This is burdensome. So this card to me stands as, it's really clear to me now, it feels very meaningful as a reminder to stay with my passion, keep it light, keep it fun. And by keep it light, I don't mean to not keep it deep. I want to keep it deep as well. To keep it in balance and to remember that I'm doing it because I want to do it, because I love it, because it's fun, because it gives my life meaning to feel like I'm helping other people, that I'm connecting with other people on a deep level, and that I can quit at any point that I want to if I lose that sense of joy and sense of meaning. And that foreboding figure of the devil holding up his hand in kind of a warning gesture, to me, that's his message. That's the warning. So this feels very, very meaningful to me. Now, part of the reason that I wanted to share all of this with you is I wanted to model a style of working, a style of approaching your dreams, a style of approaching the tarot, a style of approaching symbolic material of any sort, which is that you have to feel your way into it. You have to be open to a wide range of possibilities. You have to be open to the fact that it's not just about one thing. You have to stay in search mode until you feel what Jeremy Taylor calls a tingle or an aha. In other words, it's that inner sense of recognition. And that's unmistakable. When you get it, you know you got it. And you say, oh, I got it. That's it. So I'm hoping that by sharing my process, it will model for you a certain way of going about this stuff. And I suppose it also raises the other question of, you know, to what extent, you know, did fate give me this card? Was this, you know, is this synchronicity? To me, it feels very synchronistic that I get this card. All three of these cards feel very accurate for my particular question and for my particular situation. It does reinforce for me a sense of there's something bigger going on here. There are connections that we don't fully understand, that some kind of higher unconscious or force is bringing me the very cards that I need to see. But you know what? You don't have to believe in that for this to be a meaningful process. You don't have to believe that God or divine providence or the higher self or dead Aunt Mary caused these cards to come up. The key thing is that these are very evocative, archetypal images, and they evoke inner searching. And that's the key thing. And they are successful if that inner search reveals some important underlying meaningful message in terms of your own life. Okay, moving along to the second card about what's really going on. That's what that position is called, what's really going on. So while it might appear, right, that I'm chained to obligatory practice, as suggested by the Devil card, what's really going on is we see a picture of a craftsman who is carefully creating these stars on pentacles or on discs, and the circle is a symbol of wholeness. And the symbol of the star is also an important symbol, I think, of wholeness and higher consciousness, of integration, of bringing the various elements together. And indeed, that to me feels like, yes, this is what's really going on, is that I am working at a craft. This is my craft right now. And I'm trying to call people to wholeness and give them tools create a product where that can be shared, that will bring this kind of abundance into people's lives. So for me, that speaks very strongly that this is what's going on, and it's a great way for me to see myself, to see my effort to position this as a craftsman, and that I'm working at my craft. And I like that. That's reinforcing. That's motivating for me to see that. It's a good reminder for me to say, okay, this is what I'm about here. And then we come to the third one, what needs to happen? And basically the question is, well, what needs to happen to carry Shrink Wrap Radio forward into the future, to make it fully realized, to fully realize its potential? And this third card, the Hermit, would speak to that issue. And it's very much, I think, like what Stefan was suggesting in his note. The way that I see it is, you know, and another good way to work with these cards is to work with them you could either see it as a Jungian way or a Gestalt way, which is to identify with the figure, to dialogue with the card, and give the figure in the card a voice. So if I were to do that right now, I would say, I'm the Hermit, and I am holding out a light, a beacon. I'm standing high on a mountain, and I'm holding out this light as a beacon for both for myself, as I walk paths that perhaps have not been walked before, and as I seek new heights, but also I hold this lantern out as a guide to others so that they can see the light in the dark. And I need to be a hermit in the respect of, I really need to continue to have an inner focus, to listen to my heart, to listen to my intuition, to listen to my soul, and that will be very important as I move forward into the future. So that's my take on these cards, and I just wanted to share these insights with you and also my thoughts about working with dreams and working with Tarot in this fashion. Well, let me know what you think of the more extemporaneous delivery of the preceding portion. I hope you found my coverage of that Tarot reading to be useful and interesting, and it wasn't scripted out, so I'd be really interested to hear what you thought of it. And I began by talking about the problems I was experiencing in my wrist and arms with carpal tunnel or tendonitis or RSI, repeated stress injury, whatever you want to call it. I'm not sure what to call it. I have found that one of the hardest things on that has to do with editing. When I usually on these interviews in the past, on most of them, I've edited out all the ahs and ums and also long pauses. And I know that I commit my share of ahs and ums and pauses, and some of my guests do it to a fairly extreme degree. I found it to be fairly time-consuming editing that stuff out, but the bigger concern is it's very fine mouse work, and it really seems to be aggravating my symptoms. So as a consequence, I think I'm going to have to stop doing that. And maybe that'll be tolerable. I mean, maybe you'll find that it doesn't bother you that much. Personally, I think that it would be more polished. I prefer the more polished approach of taking that stuff off. For me, the ideal solution would be if there's one of you listeners who would volunteer to take that on. You would need to have editing software. Actually, you can download the software for free to edit a WAV file. And I would put the WAV file from the interview up on a website, and you could download it, and then you would just edit out the uhs, the ums, and excessively long pauses. It's not possible to catch every one of them because some are so closely embedded to the speech that you can't get it out. But I found that, you know, with care, I could take most of them out. So if there is some wonderful soul out there who is sufficiently in love with shrink wrap radio that they would be willing to do that and that they have the skill to do that. You know, the interviews run anywhere between 30 to 50 minutes, and it would probably take a couple of hours to do that editing for each one. And I would be expecting fast turnaround. I wouldn't want to wait a week for this to happen, because I like to get these shows out there just as fast as I can. So I'm hoping that there might be a taker. Otherwise, we're just all going to have to get more comfortable with those uhs and ums and stutters and stammers and pauses. I want to thank everybody who's been taking the Shrink Wrap Radio survey. The number's gone up quite a bit. I read through the surveys. There's a lot of useful information there in terms of suggestions for new shows and new guests and so on. And I do pay attention to all of that. So if you haven't taken the survey, I encourage you to do so. You'll find a link to it on our website, and you get a little surprise when you fill it out. And as usual, I need to give thanks to Podshow and GoDaddy, who sponsor this program. And you'll find discount codes on our Shrink Wrap Radio site. These discount codes will allow you to, any sort of web support services, domain name, etc., you can get some good discounts at GoDaddy by using those codes. And I want to give a big thank you and welcome to Luis Antonio in Guadalajara, Mexico, for putting himself on our Frapper map. You'll find a link to add yourself on our site if you'd like to, and I'd really like you to. It's wonderful to hear from people and find out where they're living and to have our Frapper map keep growing.
Hello, Dr. Dave. This is Brother Bernard Seif in Broadheadsville, Pennsylvania. I'm calling just to let everyone know that even monks listen to Shrink Wrap Radio. Thanks for the great podcasts.
Hey, Brother Bernard. Thanks for that transition. Brother Bernard is one of our new Shrink Wrap Radio listeners, and I discovered that he would make a great guest. So, in fact, he will be our very next guest. And I'll say more about this at the end of the show. But now let's catch up on some more of that wonderful email. First, we hear from Nir in New York City, who writes, "Dear Dr. Dave, I enjoyed very much, as usual, your podcasts about affluence and about the soul of psychotherapy with your old-time friend Dwight." And he says, I forget his last name. His last name was Webb, Dwight Webb. "In addition to the content, I really love the way you conduct these interviews because of your openness and sincerity, the way you openly reveal and share who you are and who your friends are. It serves as an example for me, and it makes me really feel love for you, validating what you said in the podcast." Well, thank you. Thank you, Nir. That really means a lot to me. He goes on to write, "I also downloaded some programs from the Australian ABC show All in the Mind. And although they are very professional, they don't even come close to your shows in content and intensity of human relatedness and connection, a sense of being part of a community. Now, that really is a compliment, Nir, because I regularly listen to that show, All in the Mind. A listener told me about it some time back, and I started listening, and they are so professional. They have much more in the way of resources than I do in terms of reporters and equipment and all of that. I think they have a salaried staff and so on. So they do a very professional job. And I've sort of thought of them as the gold standard. So for you to even compare me to them in a favorable light, I can't tell you how good that makes me feel. Nir went on to make a comment about affluence because we had a couple of shows dealing with that. He says about affluence, how much control do we really have in this matter? Wouldn't we all be millionaires by now if we could? Since we do not decide where to be born, who our parents will be, what natural talents we will have, or what the demand of our talents will be in our environment, what do we determine actually? The only choice we have is whether to make more or less effort, and even that is influenced by our natural tendencies and the society we live in. Anyway, thanks again. Keep in touch. And it's Nir in New York City. And Nir, I think I agree quite a bit with what you say about affluence, although our guest Randy Gage certainly would not agree. He would say that you can break free of where you were born and your circumstances and your culture once you understand that you are the master of your fate and you stop engaging in negative self-programming and so on. Well, you heard the show, you know the rap. And for me, the truth lies somewhere in between those two extremes, I think. This next one comes from Liz in Medford, New Jersey. It's long, but it's good. She writes, "Greetings, Dr. Dave. I am so thrilled to be writing you today. I must start this letter off immediately telling you that your program, Shrink Wrap Radio, has significantly changed my life!" Exclamation point. Wow, how thrilling. She goes on to say, "Forgive the length of this email, but I want to show you how monumental this has been for me!" Exclamation point. "I will start by explaining to you that I am a creative spiritual soul wanting to utilize both of those expressions in some sort of career that is fulfilling, enriching, and healing, but had no idea how to manifest one. I graduated college in 2003 with two undergraduate degrees, art and English, and enjoyed both thoroughly, but have been struggling with mind-numbing 9-to-5s and restaurant jobs ever since." And she puts in parentheses, "This is not to discourage other listeners from majoring in those wonderful programs, but that was the outcome they had for me." Close parens. "My whole life was starting to fall apart because I was so completely unhappy with what I was doing, or rather not doing, with my talents, visions, and intellect." And again, in parentheses, she says, "I'm also a musician, singer, songwriter type, struggling to make a living with music as well. But as we all know, that too is not an instantaneous or easy career. My engagement ended because of my lack of direction and depression, and I completely lost my sense of self, wondering if I was destined to work at jobs I hated for the rest of my life, watching my creativity and lust for living atrophy. As I mentioned, I have an interest in music and therefore love my iPod. I bring it everywhere, especially on walks and jogs. It took me a year or so after having one, but eventually I entered the wide world of podcasts and became a podcast junkie." Great, I'm one too. "As I also mentioned, I'm very spiritual, though I was raised in a rather fundamentalist Christian. I always felt like there was more to it than what that sort of institutionalized structure had to offer. I'm fascinated with Christ and slowly started connecting Buddhist beliefs to Christ, which eventually led me down a rabbit hole of exploring the more occultist and esoteric spiritual beliefs of mystics, Gnostics, and shamans. I started reading books on healing, on past lives, and entering a world for which I was so hungry. I began searching for all I could get my hands on. Enter Shrink Wrap Radio via a podcast search on iTunes for spirituality. Well, I was hooked right off the bat, and my starving iPod ate up all your shows. What I gained from your shows was so much more than just spiritual insight. I learned that perhaps a way I can practically apply my more creative and intuitive abilities was through psychology. I had never thought of this before. I had no experience, no background, and wondered, how does a novice like me get into such a complex field? One day, while on a walk, I listened to your show on art therapy. I stopped dead in my tracks and got the God shivers. I had heard the term art therapy before, but always thought it was something fluffy art students did because they didn't know what else to do with an art degree. Everyone, please forgive me my uninformed cynicism, she says. After listening to your show, I realized that I couldn't have been further from the truth regarding this remarkable career, and I knew instantly it was for me. After my walk, I went home and immediately looked up the art therapy website your guest mentioned. That's Suzanne Lovell, was my guest. And I hope it's okay. I intend to pass this email along to her. She will be tickled. She goes on to write, I couldn't believe that there was the leading art therapy program right in the city where I lived, Philadelphia. I live right outside the city in South Jersey. Since then, I've applied to the graduate art therapy program at Drexel University in Philadelphia and have enrolled in undergraduate courses in psychology to, quote, catch up on the prerequisite psych courses needed to enter the program. Mom and Dad have graciously let me move back in with them to save money and go to a community college in Michigan. Good for you, Mom and Dad, which I am originally from and where they can still live and where they still live. I have a long way to go, but I'm so excited to be on this track. I look forward to having a fulfilling career where I can use my art degree and creative skills. I can heal and help others, and I don't have to be a 9-to-5 office drone or serve steaks anymore, though that is what I'm still doing just to pay the bills in the meantime. So, Dr. Dave, you've really been a wealth of information for me, and I just wanted you to know that Shrink Wrap Radio really did change a listener's life. Thank you, she says in all caps. Well, you can imagine how it warms my heart to get this email and to know that these efforts of mine are making a difference in at least one listener's life. And I know it's more than one because I've heard that from others of you. She goes on, I have a couple of other items here to mention while I have your attention. You certainly do have my attention. I've become more and more interested in Jungian/depth psychology because of how mystical and spiritual it is. Another avenue I went down via Shrink Wrap Radio was finding out about the Four Winds Society with Alberto Villoldo, which I am also so grateful for. I'm wondering if you have some advice for me. If my main goal is to gain spiritual and healing knowledge, should I be going into these sorts of studies now? Or do you think that it's a good plan to get started with my art therapy career and add to it with these further pursuits? My main struggle is, should I go to a depth psychology program like the one at Sonoma or continue the avenue I'm going and pursue interests like Jung and shamanism on my own? I'll answer that right now. I think you should continue with the art therapy program that you found and establish yourself, get a credential so that you have a career, and then further enrich that career once you have that solid economic base, you know, of having the degree and the credential. And then if you want to further explore depth psychology, shamanism, and so on, do it after you establish that base. I'm sort of conservative, believe it or not, educationally. And so from a conservative, that's my advice. She says, an issue I have is that I really don't think I can move to California just to take that program. If at all possible, I want to remain on the East Coast for a while. Do you know any depth psychology programs out east in New York City, Philly, or even Boston? I don't, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were some, and probably some listener will help us out. But really, I think the art therapy program at Drexel is a good way to go. I couldn't find one in internet search, she says. Anyway, I know you're not my personal mentor or anything, but as a professor and a former chair of department, I thought perhaps you might have experience giving advice to sundries like myself. Well, you write well. You should do well in graduate school, I'll say that. I would love so much to do the program at Sonoma and at the Four Winds and can picture myself diving headfirst into that world, but don't know how to change my life that drastically right now. I'm very much in love with the art therapy program. Oh, the decisions in life. Well, such problems and abundance, an abundance of wonderful decisions to choose from, wonderful options. He says, also in the podcast of on drugs and psychotherapy, you mentioned some readings suggesting a listener, suggestions for a listener and told him to read books called She, He, and He, but I believe you got the author's name wrong. You said Robert Johnson, and when I went to look the person up, all I came up with was the musical artist who sold his soul to the devil. Well, I don't think I got the name wrong. I know that Robert Johnson, being a lover of the blues and the guitar myself, but there is a Jungian who is named Robert Johnson, and I probably should pause this right now and double check. Well, you had me questioning my own sanity, but it's Robert A. Johnson. I went on to Amazon.com, and if you do a search there for Robert A. Johnson, you'll find him. And so I think I'll stop the letter there. We almost got through it all. She says, well, this has been long, so I'll let you go. Please keep up the incredible work, Dr. Dave. I'm a huge fan and have told many others about your show. Oh, goody. You've introduced me to so many interesting topics and people. Thank you so very much. Sincerely, a new psychologist and therapist in training, Liz. P.S. If you would like to share this on the air, feel free. Also, feel free to pass on my website, www.whatsthedealman.com. My CDs are also for sale at www.pubcan.com. That's www.pubcan. She says, where the entire CD is available for free sampling. Please take a listen and let me know what you think. Thanks so much. I haven't taken a listen yet, but I really want to do that. Who knows? Maybe it'll be something suitable. I'm thinking about new theme music for the show, so I'll check that out as a possibility. Well, I think that probably is as much email as I should read for today. So once again, I want to remind you about MyChingo. We had that wonderful transition that Brother Bernard recorded using MyChingo. And if you just go to the MyChingo logo on the website at shrinkwrapradio.com and you've got a microphone hooked up to your computer, then you can leave a wonderful transition. You can also leave messages for me on Skype where my name is ShrinkPod. And finally, in the U.S., you can leave voicemail on our phone at 206-888-2746. Nobody ever uses that phone. I don't know why. And as I mentioned earlier, my next guest will be Brother Bernard Seif, who is a Catholic monk and a clinical psychologist board certified in behavioral medicine, and he's also a doctor of naturopathic medicine specializing in Chinese medicine. So I think you're going to find him to be a very fascinating guest. That's it for now. This is Dr. Dave saying, it's all in your mind.